7, Stan Phillips.
Mansions of glory and suicide machines sprung from cages on highway nine, torn with human ticket and stepping out over the line. Good morning, Met fans. Happy Sunday fun day to you. How you all doing? Well, after last night, we pulled out a win against the Mariners. The Mariners clawed back, but we pulled it out. And now the series is split at 1-1. Chris Bassitt had a gutsy outing, showing what the true competitor he is. And Patrick Mazeika, a blast from the past, back with the Mets, hit a game-winning homer. And he hasn't hit many hits as a Met, but he's made all his hits count as clutch hits. Now the Mets and Mariners finally got underway after a 68-minute rain delay. That kind of sucks when you have a rain delay on a Saturday night when you had a Sunday game the next day, day game. So it's rough on the players. It's rough on anybody anytime you have a rain delay. But Chris Bassitt maintained his composure. He could have broke a few times. He bent a little bit, but he held his ground. He ran into trouble in the first inning, loading the bases with two walks and a hit by pitch with two outs, while also having some miscommunication with Patrick Mazeika, who made his season debut. But he picked off Eugenio Suarez to end the Mariners' early threat. The Mariners had another similar opportunity, putting two guys on with one out. But Bassitt induced a ground out and a strikeout to end that frame. Bassitt faced trouble again in the fifth, putting runners on the corners with two outs. But Bassitt came away unscathed as J.P. Crawford flied out to center. In the sixth, the Mariners had their first two batters reach base. Bassitt struck out back-to-back batters, but Steven Souza Jr. booped in a single, to finally get Seattle on board. After 108 pitches, he left to a standing ovation. Good crowd at Citi Field yesterday, Pete Alonso bobblehead day. And Seth Lugo cleaned up the mess. Bassitt finished with one earned run in 5 2/3 innings, allowing 5 hits and 3 walks while striking out 8. The bottom of the first, Starling Marte was originally called out trying to leg out a triple, but the Mets challenged the call and it was overturned, and Francisco Lindor drove him in with a game-tying single. Sometimes it's always good to challenge those calls. Couldn't do that years ago, but now you can, and the Mets did it and were successful. In the third inning, the Mets put their first two batters in scoring position, and Lindor added another RBI on a sacrifice fly. Jeff McNeil had a much louder sacrifice fly on a leaping grab by Souza Jr. at the right field wall. Pete Alonso added an RBI double in the fifth to score Marte for a second time for his 29th RBI of the season. Not too bad for Pete. Lugo came back out for the seventh, but like Bassitt, got into some trouble and put the tying run to plate with one out. That prompted Buck Showalter to go with Chasen Shreve, who hadn't pitched in almost a week, to face fellow lefty and Met fan nemesis Jesse Winker. On a 3-1 count, he blasted a 3-run homer to tie the game at 4. Winker then gave a salute to the fans, and Shreve was not happy with the way he pimped his shot. Jesse knows how to get that city crowd going, doesn't he? On the first pitch of the bottom of the inning, though, folk hero Mazeika took Andres Munoz deep to give the Mets a 5-4 lead. Adam Ottavino entered the game in the eighth inning, and although he put the tying run in scoring position, he got two crowned outs to hold the lead. The ninth inning belonged to Edwin Diaz, and he struck out all three batters he faced in his first game against his former team. The final out was Winker. Brandon Nimmo extended his hitting streak to 10 games. He's hitting .389 during it, and his on-base streak to 25 with a single in the fifth inning. Marte went 3-for-4 and was a home run shy of the cycle. It was his second game of the season with multiple extra base hits. And here's Gary Cohen on Edwin Diaz, pitching a pretty, pretty good ninth inning.
1-2 coming. Struck him! Two more outs. Struck him out! Diaz. He struck him out, and the ball game is over!
Yes, Edwin Diaz. What a year he is having, isn't he? It's good to see Edwin back to his form that he had with the Seattle Mariners. And appropriately, he did it against the Mariners yesterday. And how about our good friend Patrick Mazika? Here's his home run call.
And Mazika drives one.
Ah, yes, good to have Patrick Mazika back, isn't it? He's one of those Mets that are going to go down in Met folklore. And how about Pete Alonso on his big night, bobblehead night? He comes through with a big hit. Here it is.
1-2 coming. And he drills one down the left field line. That's going to go to the corner. Marte racing around second on his way to third. Winker plays it. Marte being waved home. The relay throw will not be made by Crawford. It's an RBI double for Pete Alonso.
Ah, yes, Pete is really stepping up lately, and he's knocking in the runs when they're counting, and that's always means success for the Mets. What I always say is Pete goes, the Mets. And how about our good friend Brandon Nimmo? He now has an on-base streak, getting on-base streak of 25 games. Here's how he did it last night. You ready?
F. Nimmo, who's 0 for 2, and he lines one up the middle, a base hit. So Nimmo greets Penn Murphy with a first pitch single, and the Mets have their fourth hit of the game.
Brandon Nimmo, on base machine. Well, what's going on today for the matinee? We have a day game. It's going to be Carlos Carrasco against the reigning AL Cy Young Award winner, Robbie Ray. Should be a good one. I'll be going to that game today, and I'll have all the details for you tomorrow, so stay tuned on that one. But the feel-good story of last night's game has to be Patrick Mazika. Now, he's just played in 38 big league games, yet he's already a cultural hero among Met fans. In 2021, he had two walk-off RBIs before even recording his first MLB hit. On Saturday night, he hit the game-winning home run in his season debut. He joked that this game-winning RBI was a bit sweeter than the two he had last season. He said, "I think we can say that one was over 60 miles an hour, over 6 feet. But at this point, it's clear that the catcher has a flair for the dramatic and the clutch gene. If anything, over the last few years, he's taught us that you got to be ready for anything. Last year was up, down, taxi squad, and he embraced it. He's always going to be ready to play whenever he's called upon. So that mindset's allowed him to come in and just try to transition a little bit more seamlessly. And he's done pretty well. Regardless of what it meant in the game, that's why you get up and you play the game every day. Guys like Mazika, they just never know when they're going to be in there. You never know what the game's going to have in store for him. And he has risen to the occasion more than once for the Mets. And last night, you got to admit, it was a great moment for him, let alone the team. He ambushed a guy throwing 100 miles an hour, and the Mets really needed it. Big, big day for Mazika. Now, Mazika gives credit to Dominic Smith for some big advice. Smith was often in some pinch-hit situations early in his career, and continues to be in those spots now. And I guess the mindset for both of them is you just got to be able to do it in one at-bat, one pitch at a time, one bat at a time. Wherever the spot they spot it, you just lock it in and try to do it. And that's something that I guess pinch hitters have to focus on every day. Now, Mazika will see a lot of playing time for at least the next 6 weeks as James McCann deals with a hamate injury. Oh, man, it's too early in the morning for me. Hamate injury. And hopefully all things work out for Mazika. It's going to be fun watching him. I do like watching him. Now, speaking of James McCann, he told reporters for Saturday's game that he would undergo surgery early this week on his fractured left hamate. Again, I hope I'm pronouncing that right. I'm not a doctor. Anyway, it caught McCann off guard for sure. And he said, "It's definitely not what I was expecting, especially the injury. To this day, I still pass the strength test. It's something we had kind of written off as far as being a thing. It caught me off guard, surprised, definitely wasn't expecting to be told I had a fractured bone. We're just trying to confirm the surgery, he says. We're trying to get it done as quickly as possible because it speeds up the recovery process. I would have loved to have been able to do it Friday, but that's just not the nature of it. So we're finally finalizing which day, but it'll be early this week that we get it taken care of. Now, McCann turns 32 on June 13th, and he last played in a game May 10th. The Mets 4-2 win over the Nationals with a 1-for-3 line and an RBI. He even says he doesn't know when it happened. The doctor said, I've been dealing with it for a while. It finally got to the point where the pain tolerance wasn't, and I just couldn't do it anymore. Like I said the other day, I had some general soreness for a while there. It kind of came and went. The typical injury like this takes one swing and loses strength in the hand. That's not really what happened to me. It's just something that over time gradually occurred. So far in 21 games this season, McCann's hit 196 with a 266 on base percentage and 286 slugging percent, OPS, I should say, with one homer and six RBIs. And here's what he had to say about the injury.
Initial reaction to learning that you have a fractured bone in your wrist?
Caught me off guard for sure. Definitely not what I was expecting, especially the hamate. You know, to this day, I still pass the strength test. You know, it's something we had kind of written off as far as being a thing. So it caught me off guard, surprised, and definitely wasn't expecting to be told I had a fractured bone.
I know you said you were maybe getting a little more information today. Did you get more clarity on what exactly?
Yeah, we were just trying to confirm surgery and we're trying to get done as quickly as possible because that just speeds up the recovery process. But I'd love to be able to do it yesterday, but you know, that's just not the nature of it. So we're still finalizing which day, but it'll be early this week that we get taken care of.
It's still kind of trying to figure out when it happened. Or...
Yeah, I don't know when it happened. The doctor said I've been dealing with it for a while. It finally just got to a point where the pain tolerance wasn't. I just couldn't do it anymore. You know, it'd been like I said the other day. I'd had some general soreness for a while there. It's kind of come and go. But the fact, you know, the typical hamate is, you know, guy takes one swing and can't lose his strength in his hand. And that's not really what happened to me. It was just something that over time gradually occurred.
Is your understanding that, I mean, I know you can't tell for sure, but 6 weeks, is that return to play or return to kind of like full baseball?
Yeah, that's from what I've been told, 6 weeks is the average return time. You know, obviously I'm shooting for quicker than that. You know, especially after a short spring training, missed time with my back. I finally had gotten to a point where I felt like I was comfortable and things were starting to click. And it's just another setback, but it's something that I'll deal with and we'll get through.
How long had it been bothering you?
Several weeks. And honestly, for me, it's something that I would feel like maybe in the cage or during batting practice. But, you know, once the game started, the adrenaline. It was there, but it wasn't prohibiting. When I first said something, it was on Tuesday when I could feel it and I was catching. And that's when I said, you know, there's something that I need to voice. It's if I can feel it while catching a baseball, there's something I need to, you know, say. I'm going to be borrowing Dom Smith's left-hand catcher's glove, so I'll go squat and turn the machine down a little bit slower so I'm not used to catching that side, but I'll be able to do pretty much everything except swing a bat with two hands.
You can lift all like you usually would.
Yeah, obviously post-op, there'll be a few days where I have to, you know, recover, but the plan is to stay in as close to baseball shape as possible.
And there you have it. There's James McCann giving his own update on everything, basically what I said before. So hopefully James will be back, but it'll be interesting to see what Thomas Needle and Patrick Mazika could do in the interim. Now how about, we're talking about Jared Kalenic coming back to Citi Field. How about Paul Sewald? Remember Paul Sewald? I always liked Paul. I thought he had good stuff. And when he pitched, for some odd reason, he reminded me with his form of Tom Seaver. That's just me. I don't know how you guys feel about that. But it was good seeing Paul Sewald the other day in Citi Field, even though he did us some damage. You don't want to see Paul Sewall come in and do us bad, but he did get the win on Friday night. And it was a cool experience, I guess. He did get booed by the City Field fans, so he did feel kind of good about, I guess, shutting them up. He was drafted by the Mets in 2012 and spent his first four seasons in the big leagues playing for them. And he returned to Citi Field on Friday with the Mariners. He entered the game in the seventh inning to boos from the Mets fans and with runners on second and third in a 1-1 game, but Starling Marte to strike out. He returned in the eighth inning after the Mariners took a 2-1 lead and got three outs, including a strikeout of Eduardo Escobar to end the inning. And so Sewald said he had a lot of positive moments in Citi Field. And unfortunately, there were too many negative moments when he was a Met. That's kind of why I'm not there anymore. Friday wasn't emotional. He admits the fans were not the biggest fans of his when he was there. So to do it in front of them, especially when they booed me coming in, it was a little extra motivation, he said. A little bit of excitement. But nothing against New York fans. They're very passionate. When things are going well, they're the best fans to have. When they're not going so well, they're tough on you. It just felt good to do in the stadium where I grew up as a pitcher. Now, the Mets non-tended to Sewald after their 2020 season. He signed with Seattle. It was hard to argue with the Mets' decision. Sewald had a 5.50 career ERA with the Mets and went 1-14 in 125 games. When he came off the mound on Friday, he let out a scream and was clear what the performance meant to him. He said, "It was 18 months coming. They got rid of me, and I was hoping they'd get up there here and pitch against them. It's pretty nice to do it really well and help our team and get the win. They gave up on me, so it's pretty nice to get a little revenge today. Most importantly, we got a win." Now, Sewald has turned his career around in Seattle. He began the season by retiring each of his first 18 batters he faced in his first six appearances. He went 10-3 with 11 saves and a 3.06 ERA last year. He even said, "He's just a different guy. No more sinkers, no more in and out, no more changeup. It's just all fastballs at the top and sweeping sliders. I have two different pitches than what I did when I was here. If I would have had those pitches when I was in New York, I would have been a great reliever in New York. It wasn't a Seattle thing. I changed who I was as a pitcher, and it coincided with the time that I switched from playing for the Mets to playing for the Mariners." So we wish Paul Sewald well. Nothing against Paul at all. I always thought he had the ability to do well, and it looks like he is doing well. So that's a good thing. And how about our good friend Jesse Winker? Oh, boy, does he know how to rile us up. Now, his uniform has gone from Cincinnati red to Seattle blue, but he loves wearing the villain's black hat when he comes to Queens. He was booed loudly before each at-bat Saturday against the Mets, hitting a tying three-run homer in the seventh inning. Then he taunted the Citi Field crowd by waving to them as he crossed home plate. But Mets fans got the last laugh when Winker struck out, swinging against Edwin Diaz for a final out in the 5-4 win yesterday. And you gotta love Winker. See, he loves the relationship he has with Met fans. He even said they're an amazing group of people. They are very passionate about their team and their city. The thing we've got going on is special. They're fun. Now, the seventh inning tie yesterday was short-lived because, like I said, Patrick Mazika homered the bomb in the inning. But Winker's homer, which had made the score 4-4, was the latest back-and-forth between Met fans and unlikely villain. Most players who have drawn the ire of Met fans in the past have greater resumes than Winker, who really isn't having a great year. He's just batting .217 even after the 2-for-4 night. But for some reason, Winker and the Met fans, it's fun every time out. Now, the big thing, there's always little sub-stories that develop every year. And one of them for the Mets is Travis Jankowski, where he made that comment about his jersey, no one's going to wear his jersey. Well, he wasn't trying to really garner any sympathy. I guess he was just being honest. And it's funny because the Met teammates took note, and by late Friday after the loss to the Mariners at Citi Field, there were white Jankowski jerseys draped over every chair in the clubhouse. On Saturday afternoon, most players were wearing them as they got ready for another game. Jankowski said, "Hey, I didn't mean to be a pity party, like no one's wearing my jersey. It was more like, I understand my role, I'm happy to be in this role, but it speaks volumes to the clubhouse. I've never been part of a group of guys like this in the clubhouse where they genuinely care about each person and know that each role is important to the team, and it's awesome." Manager Buck Showalter told Jankowski on Friday afternoon that he had a surprise waiting for him in the pregame advance meeting. came when third baseman Eduardo Escobar opened the box and pulled the T-shirts out with Jankowski's name and number 16 on the back. That's pretty cool. You love that type of thing in the clubhouse, and it's just something to feed off of. All the guys rally around something like that. So that's basically wrapping up what's been going on in Citi Field the last couple of days. Now what we need to do is talk about what's going on in the greatest baseball group there is for New York Mets, New York Baseball Way of Life. And here's my shameless plug. If you're not a member of the group, please do join. We're on Facebook. It's New York Mets Baseball Way of Life. We're the Facebook group for the serious Met fan. And if you're listening to this podcast, please do subscribe. You'll be alerted every time a new one is posted. And if you ever need to reach out to me, I'm at philstn41@gmail.com. And I do answer everybody's questions, concerns, comments, suggestions. So feel free. There's no such thing as a stupid question or comment. So feel free to rifle one off to me. Now, as we do every day, it's time for Met Trivia and Jeopardy. Who is ready? Can I see a raise of hands? Okay, majority of you are. So let's get the ball rolling, shall we? Today's trivia question. What New York Met hit 29 home runs and had 3 triples in the year 2010? Now, that was the year after they brought in the fences. There was no more Great Wall flushing. So this man really took advantage of it. And here's the 2 Met Jeopardy clues. Traded by the San Diego Padres to the Mets in exchange for Jeff Barry on December 15, 1995. And he wore number 48 as a Met. You know who that is? Lock in your answers. And we'll be back at the end of the podcast to tell you how you did. Now, as always, we celebrate Met birthdays. Today, born this date in 1952, former pitching coach Rick Waits. Born this date in 1976, Tyler Walker. Born this date in 1987, Brian Dozier. Only one transaction took place on this date. And that's when Cleveland claimed Brooke Fordyce of the Mets on waivers on May 15th, 1995. Now let's talk about what's going on in the group, shall we? Always good stuff in the group. And today is no different. We give you the career stats of George Theodore. And we mentioned that on this date, we talked about Gary Gentry's gem the other day in 1970. Well, after the Mets had a day off, Tom Seaver matched Gentry by allowing one hit and beating the Phillies and Woody Freiman 4-0. The 2 consecutive one-hitters tied a major league record. And how about this date in 1992? Mets newly acquired Brett Saberhagen pitches 5 innings before leaving with tendonitis in his pitching hand that will effectively sideline him for the rest of the year. He will not win another game this year following today's 4-1 decision over the Dodgers. And then on this day in 2014 was the year that Met pitchers couldn't hit until Jacob DeGrom came up. And in his first major league outing, Mets pitcher Jacob DeGrom does something no other member of the pitching staff had been able to do yet that season, get a hit. His third inning single off Chase Whitley of the Yankees breaks a record 0-64 drought by Mets pitchers at the plate this season. DeGrom, who had been an infielder his first couple of years in college for becoming a pitcher, also pitches very well, allowing 1 run and 7 hits, but he's a hard luck loser, losing 1-0 as Whitley, Dellin Betances, Adam Warren, and David Robertson combine on a 3-hit shutout. Whitley, who was also making his major league debut, gives up no runs in 4 2/3 innings and also collects his first hit off of DeGrom. So it was a crazy, crazy night. And then if you ever saw the Mets sing You Gotta Have Heart on Ed Sullivan, we put up that video clip today. You might want to check that out. And we had a lot of interesting stats on the Mets. One of them is Patrick Mazika now has 7 career RBIs. 4 of them have put the Mets in the lead with all 4 coming in the 7th inning or later. Then we mentioned that Francisco Alvarez, our prized prospect, has been slumping of late. He's played 24 games above Class A and has struggled a bit following a hot start with a 122, 260, 146 slash line in his last 11 games. He has an incredibly bright future, but that's one of the reasons why they probably didn't bring him up. He is slumping. And unfortunately, David West, a former Met highly regarded prospect who went on to pitch well elsewhere, died of brain cancer. So rest in peace, David West. And we gave you all the details about James McCann's injury and all that other good stuff in the group. And as always, I want to thank everybody for being a good member of this group. You guys make the site what it is. And you keep knocking the ball out of the ballpark. And now we've come to that time. Yes, we have. We've come to that time for the answers of the trivia and Jeopardy questions of the day. Who is ready? Can I see a raise of hands one more time? Okay, we're ready for the answers then. Which Met player hit 3 triples and 29 homers for the 2010 regular season? Well, the correct answer is David Wright. Congrats to Kareem Haywood on being the first to submit the correct answer. And the Jeopardy was, 2 clues as always, traded by the San Diego Padres to New York Mets in exchange for Jeff Barry on December 15, 1995. He wore number 48 as a Met. The answer is Pedro Martinez. Who is Pedro Martinez? Not the Pedro, the Hall of Fame pitcher, but the other Pedro Martinez the Mets had. And congrats to John Tierney on being the first to get that answer right. Well, on to today's game. Chris Bassett, Cookie Carrasco against Robbie Ray. 2 pitchers who really established themselves in the American League. Robbie Ray was last year's AL Cy Young Award winner, so it should be a dandy out at Citi Field today. Enjoy the game, and as always, enjoy your day. And come back tomorrow. We'll be talking all about that game. And as always, so much more Met stuff. Again, folks, thanks for listening all the time. Your support means a lot to me. And don't forget to join the group, New York Mets Baseball Way of Life. Talk to you soon. Have a great day, and let's go, Mets.
Meet the Mets. Step right up and greet the Mets. Bring your kiddies, bring your wife. Guaranteed to have the time of your life, because the Mets are really sucking the ball, knocking those home runs over the wall. East side, west side, everybody's coming down to meet the M-E-T-S Mets of New streets. Where do they go? To meet the Mets! Oh, they're hollering and cheering and they're jumping in their seats. Where do they go? To meet the Mets! All the fans are true to the orange and blue, so hurry up and come on down, 'cause we got ourselves a ball club, the Mets of New York Town. Step right up and greet the Mets. Bring your kiddies, bring your wife.